Blog Talk Radio.
Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Welcome to the House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com or write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Helmand, New York, 11003. You can visit our Christian social network at www.myhocm.ning.com, our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com. You can also visit our Bible Institute online at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org. We encourage you to visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., at www.riversofrevival.com. As we continue this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission according to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. There are many Christians who desire to just go around trying to use the power of God, but it is in the preaching of the gospel that we must first. The power of God follows the preached word, which authenticates and gives proof to what we are preaching. It is when we are reaching out to a lost and dying world that God's power is exhibited in love towards those that need Him in their lives. Matthew 4, verses 18 and 19 says, And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus Christ was using their occupation and their knowledge of it to relate to them the heavenly task of evangelism. We too are fishers of men, and the world is a sea of people that we must catch for Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ said to follow me, He was telling them not only to come after Him, but to learn to do what He does, and the results would be that they would become fishers of men too. How did Jesus Christ minister to win people to Him? Jesus Christ ministered through love and truth. He loved people enough to not be concerned about his own life, as well as what people would think of him when he presented them with truth. By doing this, he put others first, or preferred them above himself. Jesus Christ was able to do this because he understood what life was truly about, heaven or hell. When we as Christians get into the presence of God, we too realize what this life is really about. But often, when we leave our prayer room or church, we too quickly forget what is truly important. the battle of the ages is for souls of people. The devil loves to get us so distracted by the busyness of life and various circumstances we encounter daily as to make us ineffective in this war. When we stand before God, we will have to give account of how much we fished for Him and where we placed fishing for souls in our priorities. It is important to know that each of us as Christians is called to declare and to share the same gospel message to all generations. Let us pray. Father, as we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming your Son Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, I pray that you will give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will guide me through the teachings of understandings of the book of Revelation. As I minister to your people, reminding them that the time is at hand, I pray that they will listen to your word and turn away from sin. Father, I pray that we will take heed to your words. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according to his work shall be. I pray, O Lord, that we will not let pride lead us to add to this prophecy, or to take away the words of the book of this prophecy. You are the root and offspring of David. You are the bright and morning star. Lord, I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with us all. We thank you for the opportunity to come before your throne to worship you, Lord, with blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto you, our God, forever and ever. Amen.
Lovely.
Welcome to the House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. We encourage you to visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com and our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com. You can also visit our Bible Institute online at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry at House of David Ministries, Inc., www.riversofrevival.com. The scripture for tonight will be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the King James Version. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, I'll say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. And if so be that the dead rise not, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are in Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son of also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me, if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat, or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differed from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Albeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let us honor God's word. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Thank you.
continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, tonight's lesson will be the Book of Revelations, the continuation of Revelation chapter 1 through 3 in the series Understanding the Book of Revelations. The Book of Revelations chapter 2 and 3 overview. In chapter 2, we deal with the character traits of the seven churches. But the number 7 denotes perfection and completeness, and the seven churches represent the complete church age. Each one of these letters are written to the ministers or caretakers of the church period. It would seem fitting the old statement as to go the leadership, so goes the followers. The leaders or ministry is being held responsible for the condition of these churches. It is important to understand that each of these churches had overwhelming characteristics for their times. Each of the previous churches' characteristics would be carried forth into the next church period until the church falls into apostasy. Ephesus, the backslidden church. This church is commended for its works, labor and patience, and hatred of evil. The complaint that the Lord had was that it had left its first love, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. They lost relationship with him. The Nicolaitans were a group of ministers who wanted a separation of clergy and laity. Nicolaitans means conquer the people. Smyrna, a persecuted church. The name Smyrna comes from the word mar, which is a bitter herb, and this is a suitable name for a church who is about to face persecution and death. Even Jesus Christ's salutation or opening to them was to give them hope that he has overcome the death that many of them were about to face. Jesus Christ had nothing bad to say about them. They were promised a crown of life. Pergamos. The word Pergamos means marriage. And during this time, the church under the Emperor Constantine was declared legal, and thus the church entered into a union with state. This made the church guilty of spiritual fornication. This is the same trick that Balaam played on the children of Israel in Numbers chapters 22 to 25. He could not curse them to destroy them. And so he got them to compromise by bringing together God's holy people with the world. Constantine began giving bishops big buildings called basilicas for conversions into churches. He gave them ornate thrones and costly vestments, and they adopted the pagan festivals to please the pagan members. Thyatira, a Lot's church. This church was also a working church, but it tolerated false teaching and doctrine. These teachings were things to lead the people of God to embrace worldly things, and thus God sees this as fornication or going to bed. Covenanting or joining the world. Thyatira tolerated sin in the church. Idolatry and immortality go together. And Jezebel personifies both. Sardis, the dead church. The name Sardis means escaping ones or those that come out. Sardis was a dead church that had all the ritualistic ceremonies that made them look alive, but it yet was dead. They are the form of godliness, but denied the power thereof, the power to transform. The condition of the church affairs became intolerable under the papacy, and the Reformation movement came out or escaped. There were some people in this dead church who did not corrupt themselves with the world. Philadelphia, a favored church. The name Philadelphia means brotherly love. Three things were said about this church. A, it had a little strength. This church was known for its revival. B, it had set before it an open door that no man could shut. Missionaries have found open doors to other nations during this 150 years period to reach the world for Jesus Christ. C, it was to be kept from the hour of temptation that shall come upon the entire world. This church would not go through the tribulation period. Laodicea, the lukewarm church. Jesus Christ has nothing good to say about this church. And unfortunately, it is the church that is most dominant today. This church is self-deceived. Their outward riches, titles, and great meetings blinded them to their true spiritual condition. Many of the members of this church are worldly or backslidden. This church seeks after worldly riches, worldly acclaim, and prestige, rather than godly wealth. This church has the outward appearance of success, but lacks the very one they say they represent. This church needs correction to repent, but prefers light words that encourage them to continue in their lukewarm condition. Jesus Christ stands outside the door of this church, trying to get in. Jesus Christ tells these people that he is not in their hearts, and that if they would only open the door of their heart, he will come into them.
To the heart where I used to live, the grass had grown up and it covered the door. Someone across the street said, I know. They don't live here anymore. They are somewhere around the throne of God. Somewhere around the throne. The preacher, he was still there. He met me at the door. He said, I know who you are, and I know who you're looking for. But they don't come here anymore.
Continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world, and have concluded the lessons in chapter 1, 2, and 3 Our next lesson will be on apostasy. Seducing spirits in the latter time. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. A seducing spirit leads a person astray from what is true and pure. It persuades, entices, or tempts a person to do or believe a thing by making it exciting, desirable, or mysterious. Doctrines of devils are teachings, revelation, and knowledge produced by demons. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. I must warn you that it is extremely dangerous for a Christian to study the false doctrines and heresies of the enemy out of curiosity, for conversational purposes, or with the intention to be informed, so as to expose the lies and deception they contain, such as the book The Da Vinci Code, that contains doctrines of devils. Once these books or articles are read, the seducing spirits which influence these demonic teachings will begin to sow doubt and confusion in your mind, to cloud your understanding and confidence in God's holy word. Satan's purpose behind these spurious teachings is to destroy the purity and power of the person and ministry of Jesus Christ, and to bring scorn and unbelief in the infallible word of God, both in Christians and sinners. It is critically important that any such readings be repented of and all information be discarded and renounced in the name of Jesus Christ. Many have fallen into various degrees of spiritual darkness, even turning completely away from the Lord, as a result of reading these kinds of material, drawn by their curiosity. Others are exposed to conspiracy theories and secret sects within the Catholic Church, various religious organizations and government. This causes them to believe that there is no place, person, or book that represents absolute truth, not even God's holy word. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. That's 1 Timothy 1. Through 7. Old wives' fables are stories of cultural wisdom handed down from one generation to the next. They are stories that teach a moral lesson. They may be legends or myths about the supernatural or natural world that include animals, humans, or spirit beings. While some stories are innocent, others are not, and even include spells, sorcery, black and white witchcraft, animism, and necromancy. Some examples or Grimm's fairy tales, Anansi the spider, and homespun tales are spiritual remedies told by all family members, especially family members who believe they are psychic, have a gift, who see or know things, or even have a third eye. All supernatural knowledge is not from the living God. They are familiar spirits who give information to people also. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish, according to James 3, verse 15. This wisdom is not from God. It is carnal wisdom from the falling nature of mankind, inspired by devils. God tells us not to use or tell these fables or tales as if they were truth, because they are not pure but tainted. We must follow after the godliness that is faithfully expressed in his word. Seducing spirits in the church. The Bible tells us we are living in extremely dangerous times. Truth is falling in the street because the church has embraced counterfeit and corrupt teachings. These teachings have nullified its godly impact and effectiveness. Rather, the church herself is perilously close to being in danger of hellfire. I encourage you to read Isaiah 59, verses 12 through 15, and 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7. What is apostasy? Apostasy is a renunciation of the faith, in whole or part. It means to renounce a religious or political belief or allegiance. It is abandoning the truth taught to us by the apostles, who were themselves first taught by Jesus Christ. He committed to them the revelatory truth of who is and how to maintain a godly life. In essence, the Christian faith is built upon the rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. This revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God was given to Peter by Father God. Matthew 16, verse 15 through 18. Faith in him and cleaving to and living the same godly example he left us is the only means of salvation and eternal life. Hell cannot prevail or overcome the life that is built upon this truth. I encourage you to read Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20, Acts 4, verses 6 through 12, Acts 16, verse 20, Acts 4, verse 33, Acts 5, verse 17 through 32, Acts 5, verses 33 to 42. However, in these latter times, seducing spirits sent from the deceiver himself, which is the devil, are challenging this truth to draw away from the carnal Christian and further darken the understandings of the unbeliever. Seducing spirits lure away by enticement those Christians who are yet indulge a willful carnal lifestyle, beguiling them. They are persuaded against their former profession of faith in Jesus Christ and become willing to believe other streams of thought that are not based solely upon Jesus Christ. Just as Eve listened to the serpent and was beguiled to disobey God's instruction to herself and Adam, these seducing spirits attempt to persuade all who listen to them that God's view of obedience and revelation of truth is too narrow, that instead of God's view, it is reasonable to widen one's perspective, receiving what is really a demonic doctrine or teachings. Who is at risk? Christians who are most susceptible to this influence are those who are Sunday saints. These are those who do not persevere in building a lasting and mature relationship with God outside of the Sunday service. Also susceptible, as previously stated, are those who are overly inquisitive, who simply must know what trick the enemy is up to, and by exposing themselves to these corrupt doctrines and teachings, find their own faith compromised as these doctrines of devils compete for their dominance in their minds. Another type of Christian who is at risk is the cultural or social Christian. This person is a Christian because they were raised that way by a parent or grandparent under whose family is in the church. They may also feel that the music of the church belongs to them culturally so they participate to maintain the tradition. The social Christian may go because they feel church membership lends them an air of respectability, or they see the church as a social organization that helps the community and champions social ills from a religious and a humanitarian standpoint. Also, that the church is a place for family, family traditions and gatherings. Another at-risk Christian is the one who feels the Bible is not complete and that some things were deliberately left out and hidden from the public. So they go on a quest for a deeper truth apart from what the Bible already complete in itself teaches. And let us not forget the person who cannot accept that God of the Bible is the only God, and that His word, the Bible, is the only truth. The most innocent of those at risk are the ignorant that are vulnerable because they are young in the faith and have not yet learned what to beware of. A babe in Christ is very impressionable, and because of their eagerness to learn, will consume whatever appears to be a spiritual truth. The attacks against Christianity's central teachings. As stated earlier in this lesson, Jesus Christ entrusted spiritual truths of the kingdom of heaven to the disciples. These truths were foundational building stones on which the church was to be built. And then, in the future, these truths were also to be taught to future generations who would come to the Lord. They were to be communicated unchanged for the growth and stability of the individual Christian and the church at large. However, over the years and increasingly in our day, spurious teachings have entered the church, muddying the doctrines given to the disciples by our Lord. The purpose is to destroy the foundation on which our faith is built, removing the Christian and the Bible from being the voice of truth to this and every generation. These teachings continually come under attack by cults, false religions, atheists, agnostics, intellectuals, and free thinkers. The Christian must position him or herself firmly on these truths, lest they find themselves in a sea of doubt with no sure place on which to anchor their faith. Five core doctrines of Christianity. We appear to be having some technical difficulty, but we're able to overcome that right now, and we'll be playing for you Reach Out by Brother Paul.
There's not a friend like the Lord.
We would like to apologize for announcing that the song was about to be played was reached out by Brother Paul, but there appeared to be some technical difficulties, and we had the song crossed. So we will continue on this spiritual journey, and as we conclude this lesson for tonight, we will extend an invitation to those who had accepted Jesus Christ and had turned away from him and continue to live in a life of sin. And we would also like to extend this invitation to those who have not accepted Jesus Christ and would encourage you to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." A common concern in the body of Christ is that sometimes people may begin to act superior or make others feel inferior based on their positions and places in the church. Because we are all sinners saved by grace, it doesn't give any one person a right to be deemed better or more innocent than someone else. It's only through personal relationship with Jesus Christ that you will be put in right standing with God. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Beloved, sin is sin. If one person murders a man and another person gossips about a woman, they both stand in the need of repentance. Every sin is named unrighteous, and there is not one person who has not sinned at some point within their lives. Don't live a life of guilt concerning your sin. Just get up, repent, and move on. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You can choose to serve one of these two masters, sin or God. Living in sin is deadly. Living in Christ brings eternal life. You have to ask yourself these two questions. Are the pleasures from the short-lived life of sin worth giving up eternal life for? Are you willing to suffer and pay the price for something forever that you enjoyed for a moment? These are very important questions to ask yourself. Beloved, salvation is easy, and you have the power to receive it. It is as simple as making the confession and believing in your heart that God's Son, Jesus Christ, is Lord and our Savior, and that he is now sitting on the right hand of God. Once you confess and believe this, you are removing Satan's grip from your life. This means that he has no more dominion to rule you. Now that you understand the road to salvation, let us make the confession to walk in salvation. There is no special way of saying it, but you have to say it. Beloved, the gospel offers us promise to save us from the penalty of sin. We must believe it. The gospel also offers us a person, Jesus Christ, who paid our penalty and deserves to be Lord of our lives. We must receive Him. Please join me in prayer right now. But let the words be your own. Don't just repeat them as if they were spiritual chants, but speak them to the personal God who loves you enough to die for you. Let us pray. Lord, I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned and made myself unclean before you, the only God. I don't want to live as a sinner anymore. I understand that I deserve death as a penalty for my sins. I want to turn away from my lifestyle of selfishness and sin. I repent. I confess. I believe that Jesus Christ paid a price with His blood. I believe that He came into this world and died for my sins, so I shall be saved. I believe that He rose from the dead and is now in heaven. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, and I put Him in control of my life as Lord. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have just accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you have just recommitted your life to Jesus Christ, I encourage you to find a church in your community, or if you would like more information to help you grow spiritually, please write to us. 271, Elmont, New York, 11003. As we continue on this spiritual journey, I would like to encourage you to join us in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. And by honoring the Great Commission, for more information and requests of our listeners, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries. Elmont, New York, 11003. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, inviting you to tune in every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m.